Break over,
everybody. We're recording again.
Whoop. I'm a steam whistle. Whoop.
I'm the steam whistle's big brother. Big steam whistle.
Whoop.
Oh, I'll never be as big as big steam whistle.
I'm on a boat.
Whoop. I'm alarming whoop. Fire alarm. It's because it's 6 o'clock in Long Island.
I'm alarmed. I'm out at sea. I'm alarmed. Where's the fire truck? I'm out at sea.
This
you know
sucks.
When you're out at sea and you want to know where
sucks.
A fire truck is?
This sucks and I hate it. Start the show.
The mad riff.
You know when you're at... But, okay, all
okay,
right.
But like, so if
all right,
you were,
new start.
But if you
new
were
start.
A steamship...
New start.
Wait. But
no.
If you were a tugger and you were out at sea and you were doing your steam bit with your big brother, the bigger tugger, and
yeah.
you heard a fire truck, you'd be like, we're out in the middle of the sea. Mm-hmm. Where's the fire truck?
Where's the fire truck?
Okay. Alex, start
and then you
over.
Wake up and it's like that soap opera where it's in the snow globe the whole time. And you're like, I've never been a steamer the whole time. I've always been.
I hate this.
I've always
be
been
a man.
A man looking
Ooh.
At a snow globe.
And I wake
globe.
Up crying and I look out the window and I go,
Ooh. Okay, no, new bit. Have
new
you
bit.
Ever been out at sea? And you think you hear a fire truck?
I know.
And
yeah.
you think that can't be
that
right.
That can't be right. I'm out of
Where
sea.
Would it be? Where would it be? Was that seagull hiding it?
Hiding
oh!
would you guys fuck the lighthouse?
Did you guys see the lighthouse?
Yeah. Would you fuck a lighthouse?
I don't know how I would fuck
That's
the
what that movie's about. Would you fuck the lighthouse?
Would you fuck the lighthouse?
Oh, they do do that in that
they
movie.
They do fuck yeah. the lighthouse. So.
I loved that movie.
I really enjoyed it, yeah.
I loved The Witch, and I loved that movie, and they're very similar.
Yes.
I didn't like The Witch very much, but I did like The Lighthouse.
I've seen it eight
oh.
times.
You know why?
Because you're sexist.
Yeah, because I'm sexist, and there's men in the lighthouse.
Yep. And so there's nothing for Jeremy to get his beak wet with, as he says.
Except for that.
He says he can't get into a movie if he can't get his beak wet and there's no tail for him.
Yeah, there's
except
no...
the tail of a seabird, which isn't what he cares for.
Yeah, the only woman in the lighthouse is the little toy.
Yeah, well, no, the only woman in the lighthouse is the sea.
Yeah.
And that mermaid, and you see its titties.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay.
But they're kind of scary the way it does it.
Scary titties.
Anyway, check out The Lighthouse. Welcome back to another episode behind the paywall of Ballin' Out
Gundam time.
I ready?
Go!
I wasn't here last time. I didn't know what we were doing.
We didn't do it
fun.
Last time. We're doing it again.
Gundam Fighter, ready, go!
I'm yeah. having fun.
We watched episode 3 of Mobile Suit G Gundam today, and I'll tell you this. No dub.
No dub, that's true, yeah. We were watching the first ones on YouTube, and then the third one only had half of it on YouTube, so we had to watch it on Crunchyroll.com in Japanese, and...
In two words?
And boy, are my eyes tired.
In two words, ready, go.
Ready, go.
Download it in English for next time.
Now, Katie, this is the first episode of G Gundam you've seen in since we did the one with cats, so like a year or two. Well, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling like
you feeling
is,
good.
You know, truly, this is the thinking man's anime in the sense that no race is safe.
Yeah,
it is yep. so much more racist than I remember.
Yep. I feel like I'm walking on a razor's edge, trying not to make the wrong joke on these.
It's fun, but it is very offensive.
Well, it's very of its time in that no one is safe.
Yeah. It's very of its time in that Chief Wahoo is fully acceptable
right.
still.
Yeah, Chief yeah. Wahoo is every character in the G Gundam universe.
Just insert whatever
other...
country they're from, add Chief Wahoo to it,
oh,
you got the character.
I'm French Chief Wahoo, and I'm a pedophile. I'm English Chief Wahoo, and I'm a different pedophile. That's kind of what this show is like. Oh, but we were talking about this before we started recording, which is every single Gundam in the show is like racially themed.
Yeah.
Like the Chinese Gundam, this episode's about the Chinese Gundam. Big, it's called Dragon Gundam. It has dragons for arms, which you'll notice they also have a Gundam wing because once you have a good idea, why have another
yeah,
one?
Yeah, why change it? Yeah.
I
see no reason to get
Italian Gundam
arms.
Was just like...
I don't remember it. What was the thing?
It was Mario, wasn't it?
Yeah, I had like... It was fancily dressed.
Gundam fight? Yeah. Let's-a-go!
The American one's a boxer. I remember, like, the Dutch one's a windmill. But the point is, they all have, like, a racial theme, except for the Japanese one, whose theme is very cool Gundam.
The theme is kick-ass.
Just a cool-ass Gundam.
It's from the best country, Japan. That's why they got it.
Sick.
Fucking awesome. Oh, its weapon is a sword? No, it's a hand that's on fire. Just like Japan, it has a hand. There's no theme at all. Part of the theme, a shitty minigun on your head that does no damage.
No damage.
And you use it every episode for some reason.
And you know what's going to happen? You're going to love that gun so much, you're going to put it on all the Gundams in the next show.
Every Gundam. That's like it's like, you know, like carpenters have like a little tiny knife to get like things unstuck. That's like the equivalent of that machine gun. Is like, yeah, if you get stuck in like a little niche or something, maybe you can blast your way out with this shitty gun. Wait, gun that doesn't do any damage.
I'm looking up the Italian Gundam now.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember it. It looks like a dragonfly.
Huh. I thought the first episode was the...
I thought it was in Rome. That's how I remember it, is it's in Rome. And then there's this other one that's also saying it's the Italian Gundam. Anyway, the point
is... This is going to be infuriating if you just listened to that episode and are listening to us not remember recording it.
Yeah, it's...
Just keep in mind, all podcasts we record happen in like a total fugue state.
Especially the ones from maybe a year ago, yeah, maybe 2 years. I don't even remember when we did that.
I feel like an asshole because every once in a while someone's like listening through for the first time and they like tweet in a reaction to something I said and I'm like, the fuck you talking about? And I'm like, oh, I guess I did say that? Sorry.
I probably did, yeah.
You have all those catchphrases, ribby ribby, beep beep. Beep, beep.
Ribby ribby by the hat.
By the hat.
By the hat.
Do you remember saying that?
We haven't done Majin Buu in a while. That's an old bit.
Yeah,
there's probably so many
like
running
that
gags
bit,
that we've
by the way.
Like...
The bit that is only weaponized against me. Not a big fan.
I am. Most of the bits are weaponized against me, so it's nice to have something in my corner.
Weaponizing bits is wrong.
Not
anyway,
a good look, my dude.
We're behind the paywall. What's the fuck up with you guys?
What's the fuck up, guys?
What's the fuck up? Everybody, what are you
what did we
freaking
talk about
up
in the last
this week?
We
talked about New Hampshire, so
we talked
we're not
about New
Hampshire,
so don't talk about that.
Yeah, shut the fuck up about that for a
minute. Yeah, the thing is, it's Thursday now, and nobody wants to hear about New Hampshire anymore because whatever happened, happened.
Whatever happened, happened. I'm sure no more shenanigans.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll hear nothing
I'm
about
sure
it. It won't be dramatic
second,
at all.
The second DNC app developed by a former Pete Buttigieg campaign member won't have any similar consequences to the first campaign app
yeah,
developed
it's,
by a former
it's crazy
Buttigieg
that just coincidentally a former Pete Buttigieg staffer just went and like detonated a fest at a polling location.
Okay, all right.
Who would have guessed? It's like weird coincidence.
See,
stuff.
When you say it before, it sounds like a curse. So you can't say it. We were talking about this in the car ride for a little bit, which is right when we were uncovering that they're using a second app in New Hampshire and not just, I don't know, email.
No, it's not in New Hampshire. It's in Nevada.
Nevada. Okay. So it's not
second app in Nevada that's also being overseen by a Pete Buttigieg staffer.
Yeah. But to think that after the Trump administration, that the CIA, like the extent of their plans for winning back an executive office that would be friendly to them would just be like endorsing a candidate, you'd have to be a child. You'd have to be a damn simple Jack to believe such a tale. Because they're definitely just running. They're just, like, Pete is just doing CIA shit. Even
yes.
if he is not literally in the CIA, there is some kind of op happening.
Yeah.
I have no evidence.
He could definitely be just like a useful idiot. That could be what it is. But in any event, there is some shit going down.
A useful
with
Mensa
the
student.
Campaign. And the fact is, folks, we don't know if he can read.
I've never seen him read. Have you?
He talks
Isn't he
about
always
reading.
Carrying around?
He talks about reading all the time, but you know what? I've never seen him do it.
Pete Buttigieg is the one who's always carrying around the James Joyce novel, isn't he?
He talks a big game about James Joyce.
He does. And he's against Irish unification.
We do need to get him on record about Irish unity. That's true.
That's true. It's never come up.
It's never come up.
And it's never come up for Sanders either. And that's going to be the big breaking point for
actually,
the
that's
election.
Not true. He has actually... he like has there's like a letter that I sent to you where he wrote a letter to Jerry Adams just being like, you are the
best. Oh, in the '80s.
Big fan, Jerry.
Not recently.
What did you?
I think it's
what
time
does he
to,
need to look?
Sinn Féin is about to take control and inevitably disappoint everyone. but whatever. we need it's going to come up again. All the candidates are going to have opinions on the Irish reunification. And they're going to ask, will you say Chucky Allah on camera? And he'll be like, Chucky Allah, I didn't even see Chucky Reborn or whatever the new Chucky movie was.
Oh, yeah. The one where he's got the little kid.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, no, there was another one.
There was a new one. They rebooted it.
And he breaks into the insane asylum.
Well, they rebooted it like last year. I saw it. But as a, you know, a bit of a topic change here.
Thank you.
Katie has been watching Gundam Wing, which is produced 1 year after G Gundam. Both have 52 episodes. Whopping. 52 whopping episodes.
Truly insane, the quality difference
between
the two
Gundam Wing
shows.
Is, like, so good, and this is not. I've been watching a lot of anime, because I just, you know, when I'm stressed out, I like the comforts of fantasy.
Really?
I've been watching Gundam Wing. I've been watching the Fruits Basket reboot.
Oh,
I've been watching.
You're going through some things, child.
I'm not. I'm actually fine. I'm just watching.
Honey, you ain't an apple. You the whole damn Fruits Basket.
Hello.
Wait. You ain't got bananas. You the whole dang Fruits Basket.
Okay. I'm actually like fine. I've been very publicly mentally ill on this podcast before. Right now, just normal.
Yeah, just normal.
Pretty fine.
Pretty fine.
What's the worst thing that's happened to you this week?
I can't talk about it.
You can't talk
show.
About
it's
it?
Work related.
Because it's work related.
Yeah, like nothing true, actually bad has happened to me. Just annoying, massively annoying.
Deeply annoying things that involve the failings of people that you at home know.
Yeah.
And maybe you, the listener, know.
Yeah.
But you'll never know.
Deeply, deeply annoying.
Yeah. My car got stuck in the snow. That was annoying.
Yeah, twice.
Yep.
Two different times.
Although I had a good time pushing it out with my incredible physical strength.
That's
so
true.
That
we were
good.
All very impressed by your strength.
It's a very small
by
car.
By we
and,
all, I mean me.
Yeah,
I was
Jeremy
there,
was
the
impressed.
Only one there.
And he pressed on the gas while I pushed the car.
That's true, yeah.
It takes two
boy.
To get tango.
We had a good good friends weekend.
Yeah, good friends weekend.
Good friends weekend.
You guys had a good friends weekend, and I smoked weed and laid in bed and watched anime. So we all really came
we
out for Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, we all did an equal amount of work for Bernie Sanders.
Katie's fighting the culture war over here.
To be fair, I was I'm helping possibly put together
a bong for Bernie.
A drag benefit. So
a drag benefit
against Pete Buttigieg.
Yeah.
It's probably falling apart.
Tell us
anyway.
More about that.
It's okay.
What's the stated intention? Is it just that you'll like you know how the Death Star has an opening? And it's the weakness.
Yeah, Pete Buttigieg is his butthole.
Yeah.
It's an opening.
You're like going to like counter gay him?
Yeah, basically. I suggested it's called Pete Buttigieg is not gay.
Yeah.
it's not really. I'm like I'm just going to help promote it. Like I'm letting other people plan it.
You're not booking like the rowdiest queens in town or anything?
No, because like I'm nightlife adjacent, so I let the girls, you know, make those decisions because that's not my place to be. But hey, how about this scene change? I tweeted this today and I think it might be very true. I was thinking about Tenchi Muyo and how it's probably the reason why I'm polyamorous.
Really? I thought that was a fucking joke.
That you were joking.
I mean, yeah, it's a joke, but I'm trying to make this a lighthearted episode.
I wouldn't be surprised I wouldn't be surprised if Tenchi Muyo has had a big impact on a lot of poly people our age. I also wouldn't be surprised if it had a big impact on the tastes of a lot of men for women with funny color hair.
or huge tits.
Anime
definitely opened up Tenchi the weird Muyo. Girl market. Yeah, I heard the boobies.
Tenchi Muyo was, I think, what inspired me to like tens out of ten.
Yeah.
I think that had something to do with it.
Yeah, well, I want to be Tenchi Muyo.
Yeah. I mean, everyone does.
Yeah, everyone wants to be Tenchi.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, he doesn't even seem like he appreciates it.
No, that's
Tenchi
the worst
Muyo?
Part. That's the whole genre is for you to watch him and be like, you don't even know what you have, Tenchi.
Yeah, I would know. I would fucking know. Unlike
if it
that,
was me there,
yeah,
oh,
if
you don't
I was
even
there
know.
With all my wives and husbands, and I'd be like, yeah, look at my fucking life. I'm a pimp.
My beak would never not be wet.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the whole thing came about because I try not to talk about my personal life, but like a drunk person cornered me and started asking me polyamory questions. And I'm like, I can just ask them to leave me alone, or I can try and stop an even worse conversation down
Article
the line.
7 of polyamory ring establishes you must tell me your polyamory secrets.
Yeah, you're joking, but that's like literally what happens.
Polyamory discussion, ready, go!
They're like, my relationship's falling apart, you must duel me. And conversation, and I'm like, no, just here to drink.
I'm Chinese. My arms are dragons.
Yeah, and then at some point, I was just like, basically, I'm just trying to be an anime. And then they're like, what? And I'm like, oh no, this is I'm losing. I'm
well,
losing it.
Pilot here we go.
Oh no, I lost control of this Gundam.
The Zero System's taking over.
You're saying all of this out loud, and they're just like,
Well,
anyway.
I guess I don't want you to be my seventh
girlfriend.
Gonna
go play Photo Hunt, I guess.
So Tenchi, I sort of remember Tenchi. I remember that they reboot the show.
Like, multiple times.
Five or six times, which, as someone casually watching on Toonami, is extremely confusing. Because you get the hang of it, they're like, and they're in space.
I feel like I remember what? Tenchi has, like, a lightsaber that he uses.
Not in all of them.
Not in all of them, yeah.
Sometimes he's just a boy.
There's
other times
one
he has a gun.
He's just a boy, and then there's, like, one version where they're, like, in space fighting shit.
And, like, there's one where, like, Ryoko becomes a giant robot or something like that?
No.
Or she becomes a giant spaceship?
No, she has a spaceship. There's always a spaceship.
Honey,
she's a space... One,
but she doesn't become... Oh, the little rabbit
Ryo-Oki
does. Yeah, there we
turns
go.
Into the spaceship.
There we are.
Wait, so Katie, what's the best one out of the Tenchi series? Like, the best version?
Oh, they're all, like, hot trash. Like, there's no...
What are we talking here? We have Tenchi Muyo.
There's no good Tenchi Muyo. It's all a garbage fire. It just depends what flavor of shit you like.
Mm-hmm.
Tenchi in Tokyo.
Yeah, like the first one is like, you know, the definitive like fun, but like it's all, you know, whatever. It's all, here's the thing about anime. 95% of it is garbage and I like it, but I'm not going to stand here and tell you that it's not garbage. And
is Tenchi in time?
Tenchi Muyo,
I don't
twin
know.
Titties.
Yeah,
is Tenchi in
nice.
Time?
And it takes place in Minnesota.
that's the Love Actually spinoff.
He has to go to different sides of town to like see his
Tenchi,
different harem members.
One of your girlfriend is over in St. Paul. Let's meet them at the Walmart.
She's cold.
She's cold. You'll have to snuggle up with her.
Tenchi, one of your girlfriends is in St. Paul. Well, I guess I know what I'm doing tonight. Turns on Xbox.
Back in Minneapolis, your cat girlfriend needs a rub. But one of them is a cat, right?
No.
Or is that, I'm thinking of Outlaw Star?
Ryoko has like... I feel like she has like pointy ears or something like that.
She's more of like, it's more of like an elf.
While
type.
She happens to look like a cat, there couldn't
well,
be more
a cat
of a
rat.
Difference.
She has a cabot.
Yes.
That was the thing, the
cabot. She has the cabot.
Yeah.
What the fuck's a cabot?
It's a cat rabbit.
It's a cat rabbit that's
what?
Also a spaceship.
Yeah.
It's
you
a cat
that girl
rabbit.
From Twitter, the Witten, it's like that, but
it
with
goes
different animals.
Meow, 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 and then it jumps into the sky, and then it turns into a spaceship. But when you're in the spaceship and you're like, spaceship do stuff, it's still like, meow, meow.
I used to have like a little desktop game where you just like feed them carrots. It's just like a cabot that like pops around and you just feed it carrots and like that's the whole game.
Oh, like the desktop pet craze of the 90s.
Yeah.
I were obsessed with those. I had so many.
Yeah.
I feel like I had Homestar Runner as one of those, but that might have just been wishful thinking.
What would you feed Homestar Runner?
You feed him the cheat.
Like, my parents had to, like, bring me aside because, like, I downloaded too many of them onto our computer.
Kate, I don't know how to feed any of the computer animals. You have to stop putting them on.
It was, like, you know, a shared family computer, and I just, like, kept leaving, like, you know, sentient cats and shit on the desktop. And I'm like, well, maybe if you bought me a fucking pet.
Yo,
I'm an only child.
That's a thing that kids today will never really have to bother with, and what a great thing for them that they never have to have a family computer that they all work off of.
Yes, and you want to pound off on it, sure.
But it's in the kitchen.
It's in the kitchen, and that means you're doing late night spy trips to the family kitchen computer in the dead of night. And one night, somebody's going to wake up and be like, why are you... And you're like, I had to Google something. I'm
just in the refrigerator for no reason. I'm just looking for a snack.
I'm looking for a snack. Don't look at the screen. I didn't have time.
Oh my god.
I was looking up a recipe. Don't look.
It's 2003. I had to beat a long dating sim to get here. Been up since one.
Oh my god. I did get in trouble for watching porn reading porn comics on the computer.
That's pretty bad.
My parents were like, Katie, why are you? I'm like, it's funny. And
oh,
like,
my God. I remember, funny. You remember, like, it used to, when you would, like, single click on, like, the Yahoo search bar, it would, like, show your search history underneath it. My first discovery of porn, I just was, like, straight Yahooing it.
Like, no regard at all. Because it's the most natural way to stumble onto it.
Of course.
Is one time you're doing Spanish homework and you type in the word, like, el cuerpo. And it's like, why are there ladies? He's scissoring for this. This isn't work at all.
Your search terms just suck. They're all just like boobs. But I just remember my
Britney
mom.
Britney Spears question mark.
My mom just like going to like search like an address for something on Yahoo, and it just like drops the whole thing down. My brother and I are both behind her, and she just looks at us. We're both just like, yeah, I don't know. We must have a virus. It's a virus.
Somebody broke
hacked
in here.
Our computer.
You didn't see him. Somebody's been using our computer. And when I catch that son of a gun.
When I catch him,
one of these days.
These fists of mine.
They're burning red. They tell me to defeat him. You know, the best thing about G Gundam is I think they're going to do this whole show. I don't think they ever explain why his fist is burning red and tells things to defeat him. I think it's never covered. It's just a given. Like, maybe it's a reference to something we don't understand.
Yeah, it's some Japanese thing. It's like when you don't understand something in Dragon Ball and you just put it out there and one of the fans writes in and they're just like, actually, it's something from Shinto. It's always something from Shinto.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When
folks at home, is burning red fists from Shinto?
When
it probably
is. When you're caught being racist, your hand gets hot. And that's how racist Tomo is.
Yeah.
It's just through the roof.
It's like
hot.
When your ears burn because someone's talking about you.
Yeah.
Your fists burn because you had a racist thought.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I restrict for people's sweaty hands so I can cancel them.
Mm.
That's talk about a bitch hunt.
talk about a bitch hunt. Folks, welcome back to our new segment, Bitch Hunt.
These fists of mine are burning red. They tell me to other Chinese people.
Every week on Bitch Hunt, we hack these bitches down.
What would
we do on Bitch Hunt? I'm trying to think of like what this would even be.
Bitch Hunt would be
let's just think.
Well, it's what happens after Bernie Sanders wins.
No.
Because we have our Salem Bitch Hunt.
We have our Salem. No. First of all, that does not further explain what it is. It just adds it onto a politician.
It would be Bitch Trial. That's the Salem Bitch
Trial. I think it's when me and my friends go to play Big Butt Hunker and we gossip.
What's Big Butt Hunker?
Big Buck Hunter.
Big Buck Hunter. Okay.
But what if it was Butt Hunker?
Big Butt Hunker.
You guys,
you gotta wonder what would it be.
We have to finish one thing at a time.
My entire butt hunker.
Let's go back a step to something very fun: Salem Bitch Trials.
It's when we finally round up all the Elizabeth Warren voters.
No, it's just me on the stands, like, they're like, Katie, is it true that you're a stupid bitch? And I'm like,
a stupid bitch. I saw a crow caw three times, and it told me that Elizabeth Warren fans are idiots.
It's all the girls in Boston get together, and they find out who's being a fucking bitch. We invited you to tailgate three or four times. What, you too good for us all of a sudden? Is that what you fucking do with Diane?
I heard Megan doesn't even like the Pats.
Oh, fuck you, Megan.
Too
Burner.
Good for the fucking Pats?
And then, like, at the end, nobody dies or anything. They just get, like, left out of the tailgate.
Okay, well, that
yeah, they
was
have to
fun.
Go live in...
go live in Connecticut.
I was just thinking of like a different part of Massachusetts, but I couldn't think of a name of a place.
Sandwich. Norfolk.
Wait, what?
Is this a place called Sandwich?
Westboro. Foxborough.
There's a place called Sandwich?
Yeah.
Well, Foxborough is where the stadium is.
That's right.
So you don't want to send them there.
I had a real shitty prom there, so I'm aware. Yeah.
What was your prom?
Well, we had like a budget for the prom, and it was entirely spent on getting like the VIP room at the stadium. Okay. So we went in to Gillette Stadium and were just like in this big empty room with no decorations or theme or anything. But it was just inconveniently far away, and that was the whole thing. It was not good. Boo, bad prom. Oh, bad job, children giving money. Try harder.
Did you even get to like go out on the field or anything?
No, you were just in like a room. It could have been at a, like literally the VFW hall.
That's so... It's just like one person's like, no, it's going to be really sick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We'll be like in the stadium.
Yeah,
maybe where like fucking billionaires like Robert Kraft are. It'd be cool.
I mean, it would be one thing if it was like in a big empty room, but Big Poppy's there or something. That's not the case.
Imagine the romance will be just like Robert Kraft and a woman jacking him off.
Oh, man. What a savvy sports reference you made.
I know,
Jeremy.
I don't know anything about
this
sports.
This is awesome.
I just pulled the one thing out.
You're making us feel very relevant all of a sudden.
A new story from, what, a year ago?
I'm still thinking of Big Poppy just standing in the corner of the room watching a bunch of 18-year-olds dance, like, yeah, all right. Home run. In the Dominican Republic, this is a Saturday night.
This is a different sport. Just a fully different sport, right?
Yeah, but
he's a baseball
player.
He's
around.
Yeah.
I guess they could have who's the guy they just made the documentary about? The murderer? He would have been time appropriate,
could
I think.
Could have been Tom Brady.
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady's there watching all of it.
I mean, he's going to...
Children dance.
Yep. He's just kissing his son.
Wish my son was here.
Yeah, he's my girl every night.
Ew, no.
I bet Tom Brady also has a daughter. Tom Brady, you seem like you have fruitful loins.
I have nothing to add to any of this.
I mean, this I feel like we're both just like
home run.
We're really running off of like it's like
this feels like when Tito came on the show and Max Ogle tried to relate to him by just mentioning anything he knew about sports.
Yeah,
he's just like, I've seen a baseball.
Oh yeah, they got what's up with the seams? They're like in a shape. You know, what's that about?
It's like in like a high school creative writing class where they make you like cut up a newspaper and then make a poem out of the little bits of paper. It's just awesome. He just like ripped up the sports page and was like, Tom Brady, what if he was kissing Robert Kraft?
Big Poppy is there, Boston.
What about Mike Piazza?
Ooh.
Mamma mia.
Oh, did you see Mr. Met helped cut the ribbon at a Bloomberg campaign office?
Fantastic.
Oh, Mr. Meg crossing the line. Here's the thing. We all know Mr. Meg is a fucking tool.
Yeah, he's a problematic fave.
He's a, yeah.
We all know he's a racist. We all know he has some fucked up thoughts about something.
He's just acting out because Noah Snizgard or whatever the however you say his last name is clearly fucking his wife.
Oh, man. Wait, does Mr. Met have a wife?
Yeah, there's Mrs. Met. Yeah.
Is it Mr. Met with a bow?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And last season, there was
this... Oh, no, now I'm picturing it.
And there was this ad campaign for Delta where it was like, the ad was Noah, their pitcher, who looks like Thor, was calling... Mr. Met calls him angrily over Skype to ask him to stop calling his wife.
And he, on TV?
Yeah, and he goes, well, because he's just like, oh, hey, Mr. Met. And he's like, oh, Mrs. Met, I talk to her all the time about the Mets. Who else do I have to talk to the Mets with? And because I'm far away from people who like the Mets. And then it's like, Delta, fly someone out to talk about the Mets or they stop fucking your wife.
And then like the next commercial is Mr. Met and Mrs. Met at the hospital and like a baby is born, but it's like a baseball with human skin.
Why did we play just, God?
Like, looks at it with like, his fucking arms on his hips, just like
He never changes his face, so he's got that big smile.
Yeah, because he can't talk because he's a mascot.
He's a mascot. But the thing about the big smile is that's why you know he's thinking something fucked up.
He's like Pagliacci.
If you're smiling like that.
He's got the smile on the outside, but crying on the inside. Sad clown.
But doctor, I am Mr. Ben.
The Mets are so cursed, and I love it.
Yeah.
My boys. They suck. Yeah. I love them so much.
It's so insane that the Islanders are apparently good now.
Sort of.
I heard they're, like, wildly, like, beating their records and shit. Like, they just went on, like, a huge winning streak and then another
one
or something.
So, every year they do that.
Yeah,
and then they immediately eat shit.
Right.
So I'll believe it when I see it. They've been doing okay, but it's like...
Yeah, I guess when you're like a shitty team, like a 3-game winning streak is like a world record winning streak.
I'm sorry.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. Do the Islanders have a fun Mr. Met kind of character?
They do. They have the guy from the fish stick box.
No, they don't. So they have like him on the jersey, but the fucking mascot for the Islanders is Sparky the Dragon.
Ooh.
What?
It's a dragon in an area
Sparky?
Widely known for being ravaged by heroin.
This is one dragon you do want to ride.
Sparky.
The dragon of physical fitness and not giving up.
Anyway, can you imagine being like drafted as like an 18-year-old Russian? You're like, finally I moved to America to achieve my dreams of being a hockey player. And it's like, you could go to New York, you could go to LA, you could go to Vegas. And it's like, nah, bitch, you're going to Long Island.
Strong Island.
I'm gonna live in East Meadow, so I'm close to work.
Yeah, it just sucks so
so
hard.
I just looked up Sparky the Dragon, and folks at home, rest assured, Alex looks like this dragon.
Yeah. No, I don't. It's a dragon. I can't look like it.
I'm sorry,
but sorry, Alex, you
look
like
this
dragon.
You look like this fucking
dragon. How would
dragon?
I look like that dragon? That dragon has even less detail in it than the dragon I supposedly look like. I feel like I'm very attacked when you say I look like a dragon.
Yeah, sorry, dude. You look like this fucking
you
dragon,
just
man.
Like, I couldn't tell.
Oh,
if it was
get
a
out of here.
Or
tell me you don't look like that dragon.
It's not like I have a big nose or anything. Or that I have like a prolonged snout or anything. I'm nothing
Alex,
like a dragon.
You look just like this dragon.
He's making a happy face, I guess. It's very hurtful that we keep saying it. I am a human man.
Look, I'm sorry, man. I can't help it that you look like every fucking dragon.
Well, speaking of dragons, it's been...
I didn't know
put it away!
I didn't know Sparky had so many outfits. There's like 15 different jerseys on this guy.
God.
Speaking of dragons, it's been 37 minutes. Let's describe this Chinese dragon episode.
You don't
G
look
Gundam.
Like that dragon, that's true.
There's one dragon I don't look like, and it's the G Gundam dragon. Let's go!
Go!
Story, Neo China Fight. Now, we begin this episode, as we will begin every episode of G Gundam, with a man in a red velour suit and an eye patch smoking a cigarette. He's smoking, right?
Yeah.
I believe he is smoking, sitting on a stool, like he's doing stand-up comedy and he's tired.
Oh, yeah. Like,
like he's about to spit some truth.
Like he's about to pull out a newspaper and be like, I don't know, what else is going on?
Right, right. And he's kind of sitting on, like, the world stage. It's like a narrative function, and he's like, time for me to explain a little bit about these Gundam fights.
Yeah, it's like they say, if all the world's a stage, he humps the stool.
Do you ever notice that your Gundam... you go home, your Gundam's a bit wily, then you start doing it like this, and he starts fucking the stool.
With a shining finger. Yeah. Did you ever slip a shining finger up your butt?
This hand of mine is burning red. It tells me to make a duck.
This hand of mine is burning red. It tells me to ask you who's fucking out there.
All right.
You guys, siblings are dating.
Settle down. This man, I want to talk about this nice guy because he explains a bit of the show. Jeremy was saying we had to rewatch the first episode because he doesn't follow the plot, and I'm pointing out to him that the plot makes no sense, and there's no use rewatching anything. The narrator explains that the reason that they're having a Gundam fight in the show of G Gundam is that all of the different colonies in space were going to go to war, but it would end terribly, so instead they have the Gundam fights, and it seems like they used to have them in space and that they would have big space fights, but now they have them on Earth, which is now deprived of resources with all the old countries on them, and so that's what Domon's doing. And then Domon ends every beginning sequence by showing the narrator a ripped up picture, and he goes, have you seen this man? I'm looking for him. And he goes, no. Which Domon and the narrator have the same interaction as like the guy on the train, like the homeless guy on the train you see every day, and he's like, I don't know, I haven't seen that guy. Have you seen my picture? No reason.
I told you yesterday. I didn't see you yesterday.
I have 5 countries he could be in. It's on the back of my picture. Yeah, all right. I'm just trying to be the narrator, buddy.
Just doing my job here. Just doing my job, sir.
Sir.
I'm at work. I'm working. So the narrator says, I haven't seen the guy, but now it's time for the episode. Ready? Go! And they're going to say, if you don't like that they say ready, go, let me just tell you, it's going to happen a lot.
It's the best part.
3 to 4 times in 20 minutes.
It's my favorite part of the show.
Yeah.
My favorite part of the show is when every time he says ready, go, the narrator rips off his eye patch, revealing a fully functioning eyeball.
Yeah.
I like that they say ready, go. My least favorite part is insanely intense racism.
Yeah.
It's funny you say that, because that is my favorite part.
It's my favorite part of the show, yeah. It
it's the funniest thing I've ever seen.
I also really love, we didn't really catch it when we watched the dub, but you really get it in when you hear it in Japanese, that there's like random little lines of, I guess, Japanglish.
Yeah, yeah, they
where
say...
Where there's just like random lines that are just like...
Gundam Fighto.
Like, Gundam Fighto is one of them, but then there was one that was like all green, they said in English for some reason.
All green... Japanese.
Yeah, Japanese. All green, Japanese.
Yeah, and that's just the power of the English language. Across the sea, people are using it. We cut to a village.
Sure.
So the thing about this show is, like, the places have no bearing in, like, the world. They're just, like, all over the place. It's kind of like how in Dragon Ball they'll be in that mysterious field that they battle in that's like 5,000 miles long and no one gets hurt. They'll just like be in iconic places next door. So it'll be like, oh, bandits, I'm in a village. And now I'm at Times Square. And now I'm in the Wuhan district or whatever. We're in a Chinese village and it is on fire. There are a series of bandits in individual dragon motorcycles or flying cars.
Flying car things, yeah.
Each of them is like the scale on a dragon, and then they form up together and become one real, real long dragon.
That just like as it's flying, kind of like flies diagonally, so it looks like it's humping the ground as it flies.
Right, it looks like it's moving its head up to be as if to say, what? Oh, did something happen?
Hello? What?
I'm 30 bikers. Did something happen? And it's going through this town and causing general mayhem. And we get the exposition because you're watching this and you're like, what is happening? And they're like, bandits! Bandits are attacking! And they go, ha ha, we are attacking, and they destroy the town. And each one of the bandits individually outside of the cars, they have a gun. You look at it, you go, oh no, a gun? Surprise, it's a flamethrower.
Yeah, oh yeah, so we see, is this where, like, Domonkashi is in, like, the little apartment with the little kid, and the dudes with the flamethrower, like, jump in and flamethrow him?
Yeah, so
they're all using the flamethrowers as if they are close range indoor weapons, which is fully demented. That's
right.
Like,
they're very contained flamethrowers. They're not like, they're like Elon Musk flamethrowers. They're,
yeah, the thing is
edge.
Though, the thing is the containedness of a flamethrower lasts only as long as it doesn't hit something.
Exactly.
The moment it hits something, it's just a big fire now.
Well, the thing about flamethrowers, as I've learned by reading a book on napalm, is they're just super soakers full of napalm, and
you
just
read a
shoot
book
napalm.
On napalm?
Yeah, I have a history book of napalm. It's fascinating.
What?
It's really good. They have the whole... I already talked about this on my other podcast, Ad Nauseam, but there's this part where they can't figure out how to distribute the napalm.
Mm-hmm.
The U.S. military, after they figured out they have this thing that burns like crazy, and they want to use it, but they can't figure out how. So the first thing they try to do is train bats that are covered in napalm to fly into houses, and they try to drop them out of ships, but they're like 10 miles in the air, so the bats are unconscious. They're just dropping these flaming bats to their death. Like, millions of government dollars are spent on this in the 40s, and it is hilarious. But anyway, that's how they... R.I.P. to bats.
It's like the Zelda villain.
They thought they could teach the bats to be racist if they did it right.
Well, I mean, you know, we've all seen that film White Dog.
I haven't. What's White Dog?
It's about a dog that you... that was trained to be racist and attack black people.
Oh, white. Oh. I mean, dogs, you could definitely train. Could you train a bat to be racist?
Yeah, bat seems
I don't think bats see color, so.
No. That's true.
I mean, don't quote me.
I don't
me
think
on
they
that.
See anything. Can they use sonar to detect race? They use sonar.
This is dangerous territory, and it's very exciting.
I give up on
this.
This
is what
podcast.
I was saying. Like,
I don't know if I can get through
this
G Gundam, you guys.
These G Gundam episodes, I feel like I'm just like walking a tightrope.
It's really hard to talk
about.
Yeah,
but how are you walking on that tightrope?
I'm also in a fight in my DMs right now because this person I know is like, misunderstanding that Vegeta is shorter than Goku, and it's making me angry.
Okay, read this off.
Yeah.
Well, I need to know what's
happening
here.
Pause the description. We're going to read the Kate's DMs.
I posted, I retweeted in my Instagram stories, a fan sent me a picture of them wearing our famous masculinity as a prison design with Goku, Vegeta, and a heart. And by the way, if, you know, even though I'm on lockdown, if you guys... follow us, follow me on there, I'll add you in, and my Instagram stories are my highest form of art. Anyway, so he, my friend, he doesn't live here, was like, I'm just a Vegeta looking for his Goku, and I was like, oh, but you're so tall, and he goes, Vegeta is taller than Goku, and I'm like, sir, that is just...
That is ridiculous.
Wow. Untrue. And
has he seen the show?
I'm furious.
Is he just familiar with Vegeta's lifestyle
brands? And then he's
brands?
Like, wait, what? And I go, and this makes me want to kill myself that I wrote this, but I'm like, he's supposed to be like 5'5", and Goku's supposed to be like 5'6", 7",
yeah.
And then he, or some shit. And he goes, why do they always draw Vegeta taller? Which I'm like, what are you watching?
Where are you seeing this, you fool?
They are just gaslighting you at this point.
Yeah, I think they might just be high.
This is doing harm to women.
Wait, is he
New
just
York
trying
City.
To talk to me? Is that what this
that
is?
That could be what it is, yeah.
Anyway,
this is somebody buying in way too much to somebody's projected character. Like, Vegeta projects himself as a tall man.
That's true. But I thought you meant buying into my projected character, which...
which is definitely thinks Vegeta's tall.
Anyway, if bats could tell your race, they'd do it by their sonar watching how you dance.
Yeah.
And so...
Or how you walk. Yeah, they'd be like... It would be like... Black people walk like...
Oh, I'm... I quit this podcast. I'm quitting.
This bat can tell Katie is pissed.
I'm not pissed. I just really got to pee, and I don't have the, my power level's too low to combat these riffs.
Do you want to go to the bathroom while you can keep going? We got a minute.
I'm gonna pee, and you guys try not to say anything too
racist.
Shitty.
Okay.
I promise we will not say anything racist while you pee.
You'll wait until I get back.
Now, Jeremy had his hand in his pocket when he said that. You'll notice he had his fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
Waiting to say his most racist thing yet. What will it be?
What will it be?
Who's going to get it in this next 90-second period?
Listener at home, I'm projecting it to you via telekinesis. Actually, that's me as a bat saying the racist thing.
It's him hearing the racist thing, and it's him saying it.
Well, they communicate with each other by the same thing, right?
I don't know how bats communicate.
Because they go like,
I know what they do.
Yeah.
I've seen them do it.
Listen, Emma Bowers, clear this up for us.
That's true. This must be so frustrating for her.
Yeah, Emma.
She works at a zoo and just here has a mis...
She knows everything about animals.
Emma, write in.
Culture. Let us know. What have we gotten right and wrong about bats? Are they racist? Do they do it via sonar? Now, to continue talking about G Gundam.
Yes, please. Okay, so this Chinese gang is wreaking havoc. We see Domon and Rain, the stars of the show. Rain is Domon's girlfriend. She doesn't actually do anything.
And we don't see him go back to her at the end of the episode.
Also, he does not seem to like her at all.
Yeah.
So Rain is trying to shoot at these bandits who are causing mayhem, and they surround her in a menacing way that has implicit sexual violence, but not explicit sexual violence. And And Domon then shows up and does the shittiest anime kick you have ever seen. It's just like, it's a front-facing camera of him and then his leg, like, flashing around the screen.
Yeah, you know how, like, in Cowboy Bebop, how all of the kicks look really fluid and cool and, like, it has, like, a really weird and interesting motion to it? Imagine the opposite of that, where it looks like dog shit, you barely see anything.
It looked like there was no storyboarding, and then a writer just wrote, you know, he does a bunch of kicks, and they did that very literally.
Yeah, action line, lots of kicks here.
Yeah, that $5 scene of Domon doing some kicks, and then all the guys fall down, and they run away, and he's fought all the bandits, and to Domon's surprise, not only are there bandits, not only is there a long Chinese dragon motorcycle, menacingly being Chinese, there is also a Gundam. A Gundam on the loose, which is not what the Gundam fights allow! And so Goku is... Domon, a different cool guy.
Yep, got ourselves a real birthday nachos scenario here.
Hey, I'm back. And I want to just say that Jeremy's wife has a real chill zone in the living room. And
what's she doing out there?
She's doing a puzzle. There's candles and soothing music and like refreshments. And like, let me tell you, I'd much rather be out there.
Been riffing with your homies in here? Damn.
Damn.
Double damn.
Yeah, in many ways, this is the opposite of doing a puzzle. Back to describing what's happening here, okay? There's a lot left.
The title of the episode
No, we're past that. I've made some progress.
Let's go ahead and speed through this.
Shut the fuck up. We've only been going for 5 minutes because you had to tell everyone I look like a dragon again. To stop everything. Tell everyone Alex looks like a dragon.
Folks at home, you gotta Google that dragon.
If you want to see a dragon, watch episode 3 of G Gundam, because they are chock full of them, including the Chinese Gundam has got dragons for arms, and they're like wiggly-woggly dragons. Mm-hmm. They wiggle and woggle around, and they shoot fire. And so this town's getting destroyed. Domon is saved by 2 Shaolin monks, who are bald and one has a beard. And he says, "Who are you?" And they say, "We're Shaolin monks." And this might sound strange, but we're going to ask that you defeat Neo China's Gundam. And he goes, "Huh, well, that's a bit of a pickle, isn't it?"
That is a dill of a pickle.
Allow me to chew on some brine here, but aren't you from Neo China? And you want me to destroy your own dang Gundam? Which are important for these international Gundam fights? And they say, yes, yes, yes. You see, we're from a different karate temple, a kung fu temple, the most powerful one in the world, which made me laugh, because it's like, yeah, the world rankings of kung fu temples. You know, they come out every year, we're like, yep, that's a big one.
It's a huge, huge deal to be ranked in the, in even in the top 10.
Right, if you can...
Zach Bazaar's top 100 kung fu temples.
If you can get
it,
even,
it's put out by Vegan Jewels.
If you can get even in like a like GQ listing for Kung Fu
it's
Temples,
huge for your Kung Fu
it
Temple.
Makes your Kung Fu Temple. And so, for the most powerful one to have a schism a few years ago, and for there to be a war between them, is kind of what's happening here. And the Shaolin monks are like, yeah, there's even this terrible warrior, Sai Saichi, who's trained by the enemy faction, who is Neo China's Gundam fighter, and the only way to save the temple is actually to defeat Sai Saichi, and so that's what we'd ask you to do. And Domon says, what if I don't want to do that because I don't care? And then they immediately grab Rain and hold a knife to her throat, and we're just like, Jesus, fuck, oh, shit!
Like, we're gonna stab the shit, and he's like, yeah. Okay, and then he just walks away, and then I'm like, it seems
he's a bad guy, yeah. Right? He's like not. We don't know anything about him.
We don't know him well enough
except
for him
that
to get away with some shit like
he's
this.
He's neglectful to women. That's all we know.
Yeah,
is he's an abusive relationship with Rain.
So he walks away from her with
for
a knife
days.
To her throat, and then
what? For
we
what?
Don't see her again.
No, well, I mean, she's at the end.
Is she?
Yeah, for a second. She's
like,
just standing around.
She's like, I was not
harmed. It's fine.
Rain is not a whole character. She's just like, by the way, there's ladies there too. That's like her whole thing.
Yeah, it's no bueno.
No bueno. But sometimes she shoots people with a gun, which I do like.
I do like the gun.
Because it's kind of funny.
Cool gun. Hey, can I just say?
Cool gun. But wait, I just
started doing this thing to my partner where if he's annoying me, I'm like, I'm going to shoot you with a gun.
That's pretty funny.
And no,
does he think it's funny?
No, not at all.
No. It's actually a bit of a red flag there, isn't it? Well,
date me. I'll be like, oh my God, you suck. I'm going to shoot you with a gun.
Which one of you will get to date Katie next after she murders an innocent man?
Who the fuck is Drew Morgan?
I don't know. Shut up. Shut up. I'm trying to explain G Gundam. Shut the fuck up. He's one of the Redneck Comedy Tour. I don't want to talk about it.
He just followed me. Why did he follow me? What
I invited him on the show like 6 months ago. I'm trying to recap G Gundam,
what does he
Jeremy.
Want from me?
I'm listening. Just do it. Just ignore him.
Oh, a funny thing I thought was that after Domon leaves, they take the knife off of Rain, and she's immediately laughing about it right away. Like,
she's
wasn't
laughing.
It funny? You have kidnapped me and threatened to slit my throat. I want more Rain biography. I want to know more about Rain. She's implicitly interesting.
She probably had codependent parents, so now she's just
she
like...
has to leave this relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just following around this damaged Gundam fighter is not going anywhere for her. He is pretty hot, though. Except he has no dick.
Yeah,
which
think,
is kind well, of
if I were attracted to men, that would be a big no-no for me, if you had no dick.
I mean, it's not that he doesn't have a dick. He doesn't have any genitalia.
Yeah, he is a Ken doll.
It's
yeah,
like
that's...
Smooth.
I mean, I said no dick. I mean...
Like,
yeah, there's no visible anything.
I do like when he gets
here.
In the Gundam and like he's like cling-wrapped.
He keeps it tight. Yeah.
They do like sexualize him, like they zoom in on his butt and stuff, and it's nice to see that lens turned on a man.
Right.
Yeah, it's just like it's hard to
but
see
it's
who
weird
he's
that
for because it's like if you were like like some genre of ace where like you don't want to have sex but you do like to look at a butt.
You just like a
I
butt
feel like
to
he'd
be there.
Perfect for.
Yeah.
Butt friendly.
There must be like some sub.
Yeah, I mean,
Ace
is
that's like that.
Ace is a spectrum, so I'm sure yeah. Like that falls into it.
Hey, write in if you're a butt ace.
Are you asexual except for being around a butt and you think that's nice but not too exciting? Write in.
You guys are joking, but I mean...
No, I'm sure that that's a thing. I bet anything that's a thing.
It's actually not a joke, and we respect it, because it's cool.
Yeah.
Yep. And if you enjoy that, wait till later in the show when this happens. But Domon is in a flying car. He's off...
Beep, beep.
He says he's off to go find this Gundam fighter or whatever.
But he just seems to be driving around.
He just
around.
Seems like he's drifting through the story. Like, I don't know where he's going. He never talks about it. He picks up this little boy on the side of the road who is playing in the dirt. And he looks like...
How to gently put this?
He looks like Chinese Chief Wah.
He's a racist Chinese character.
He looks like Short Round from Legends of the... not Legends of the Hidden Temple. Temple of Doom.
He looks, and if you know, if you didn't see that, he looks like the little science kid from the Goonies, which is the same kid.
Yeah. Just, you know, 80s racism.
Yeah.
Right. Just he's like... this kid who's going around. And so he's on the side of the road and he's like, "Hey, bro, what are you doing? Want to give me a ride?" And he's like, "No, I'm on an important mission, I think."
We're not really getting into it. My character just kind of has things happen to him.
All you know about me is I'm not very nice, so no.
And then he shows him his picture, and he's like, "You seen this guy?" And he's like, "No." And he's like, "Okay."
Yeah.
And he's like, "What? Who is the guy?"
I would love to be in...
Don't worry about it.
I would love to be in the pitch room for G Gundam, and you're trying to explain the characters, and you're like, "Tell us more about Domo." And he's like, "Well, he's got a picture. Have you seen the guy?" "Yeah, but what else?" "Well, have you seen him?"
He's got a butt and no genitals.
No genitals at all.
The perfect man.
Remember in Dogma when Alan Rickman pulls his pants down? It's like that.
It's like that. But that's kind of what he's about. And he just really wants to know about this picture. And so he does this picture move to the little boy. And the boy says no. And then he says, "Well, I'm going to leave you on the side of the road." And he's like, "Surprise, Marty in your car." So now they're the best of friends. They're an unlikely duo. And they drive to a different, seemingly normal village. Until the bandits attack!
Oh, no.
I don't know how this happened. And Domon fights them off, but they steal his car, and it cuts to commercial, and he says something along the lines of, "Now I'll have to fight the Gundam, because they stole my car." Which is weird, because before you weren't like, "Good thing he has that car, that's the one thing keeping this plot moving."
Well, and it just goes to show you, he doesn't give a fuck about her.
He doesn't give a fuck about story or anything.
Nothing. There's nothing that means anything to him. He's a true black pill nihilist.
He just is gonna do a Gundam fight once an episode. It is his promise to the viewer. And so he fights off these bandits, and they're walking around. They're trying to sneak past them. And the little kid goes, "Domon, wait here. I'll sneak past them and then give you the signal, and you'll, you know, sneak past them with me. We're a team." And so Domon waits behind a rock, and he immediately jumps out to the bandits and is like, "Hey, Domon's over there. Kick his ass." And they round him up and shoot flamethrowers at him.
And they get his ass.
They get him. They
tie him up.
They tie him up and chop his dick off. That'd be an interesting story. What if you didn't want him to have a dick, but like episode 1-2 he's just got like a big ass bulge. He's going to the gun, just like, "Yeah, I'm packing heat." And he gets captured by his bandits and they're like, "You think you're a big man, don't you?"
It'll be like Ramsay in Game of Thrones when he cuts Theon's dick off.
"Yeah, you're from the wrong side of Oxford, China now." And they chop his dick off. Snickety snick, no more mashing taters. For little Domon Cashew. And they really skip past us, but he's tied up and tortured by gangsters.
And then Alex goes, "Oh, it's the torture scene."
But Domon's so cool, even when he's getting tortured, he's still kicking their ass with his feet somehow.
Yeah, he's like, "Kick, kick, I got little kicks for you." And then their leader shows up, who is... So this show, I've established loudly this show's racist. The leader shows up and he's dressed in a Lunar New Year lion, just like casually.
He has like a 20-foot train of a festive dragon on his head.
Well, it's a lion. It's the Lunar New Year lion that you see in parades and, you know, is usually accompanied by a train of people.
Yeah, but not this one. This is just a hat.
This guy has like a Drew Barrymore in 51st Dates disorder where he always thinks it's the Lunar New Year. Every morning he wakes up just so excited about the Lunar New Year.
Again, that would
his
be a fascinating
gang of thieves
character.
Are just like, we gotta just keep
you're the
along.
Boar. Let's go.
Yeah. Oh boy. Wow. You're the boar again. Here we go.
Here we go. I love you so much. I'm wearing this headdress to prove my love every day to Adam Sandler.
You were robbed, Adam.
You were robbed. You robbed at the Oscars. You could have done a funny voice after Joaquin Phoenix begged us to stop eating animals.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so Domon says, you must be Sai Saichi, the martial artist who betrayed his clan. I'm here to Gundam fight you. And he goes, oh, yeah? What if I kick your ass with my dragon hat? And he wraps him up in the hat and kicks him. And Domon goes, oh! And then he's in jail.
Yeah.
Cut to jail. The little boy shows up in his cell and goes, sorry I got you caught by the bandits. I'll let you free. And he goes, hey, thanks. And Domon immediately is out of jail after being in jail for 5 seconds.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it's that hard to get out.
Yeah, it felt like they had to fill a couple minutes.
But not too many minutes, because the turnaround is almost like he wasn't in jail at all.
Yeah, what this felt like was the episode came up about 30 seconds short. And someone said, where could we stretch?
Yeah, he's in jail for a scene. How about that? And so he's doing a jailbreak. Domon's running out of the jail. He's kicking everybody's ass in really badly choreographed fights. And
yeah, you remember the kick from before? Imagine if it was a punch this time.
Yeah, he does it with a punch.
It looks like shit.
It's Goku's laziest punch. Domon borrows it, and he punches bandits with it. And we cut to the little boy who's by a waterfall. And what's beneath that waterfall? Why, it is the Dragon Gundam from China Space. Hitting carefully in broad daylight.
Yes. Under a waterfall.
Under a giant waterfall. It's so impractical, you would kill yourself getting to it all the time. Like, waterfalls are so... Like, the water's heavy. It would kill you.
Well, the thing is, the Burning Gundam just appears whenever Domon snaps his fingers. So maybe they can, like... It's like a Tesla, like, moves to you, you know? It scoops you, it, like, leaves the waterfall. But little boy is there and he sees the bad leader, Sai Saichi, and he goes, hey, this is actually my Gundam. And he hops over him and does a kickety kick in the back of the neck. And we never see that again. And he dies. He's just, fucking dead.
He does that like surgical snap that they do to animals when they put them down sometimes.
Right.
Put
he
him
like
in a sock, take him out.
he gave him like. He gave him the cat, the cow deadbolt thing they do at the factory farm. And this guy's fucking dead. And he's like, just kidding. I was Sai Saichi. I, the boy who never had a name. I'm Sai Saichi. Buy the toys. I have Chinese Dragon Gundam. With all your assumptions about what that is, that's what it is. That's it. Buy the toys. It's like got fire and flags and stuff. It's all kinds
and
of...
And dragon arms. And
dragon arms, two of them.
It's chopsticks. It's a crazy Gundam.
It didn't use chopsticks. That's the one thing it was missing.
No, although if you put two of the flags together,
they
could
be big chopsticks.
Giant chopsticks.
You're right.
Okay,
you're
so
right.
It's now very clear. Domon has escaped the jail. He has paired off and found Sai Saichi, the little boy, and he says, ah, so you were Sai Saichi. That's why you were such a bitch. And he goes, yep, time for a Gundam fight. And then no more dialogue. You're right. Gundam fight. Ready? Go! And they both hop in their Gundams. He snaps his fingers, and we get that great transformation sequence of
sexy
Domon
liquid butt
with his tight ass.
It's funny because I've seen like a lot of like liquidy people get into robots animation as a connoisseur of horny robot space operas.
Yeah,
but here's the thing: the funny thing about G Gundams is the first shot where the liquid's coming in, it always looks like they're struggling.
Yeah. I was like, oh, Sean, oh fuck.
Yeah, pulling their arm out always looks like it's like an ordeal. And I guess it's supposed to suggest to you that it's like...
It doesn't look liquid. It looks like it's saran wrap that they're like trying to like roll down their legs like a condom that doesn't fit right.
like silly putty or something
like
that.
Yeah, it's just not working out.
And like, what if it happened wrong and went over your face? You die. You die in seconds. Like, it always says like code green, ready to go at the end. What if it's like code red? Oh, we killed you.
Code red, he drowned in the goop.
Goop death. It happens all the time in the Gundam fight. Everybody's drowning in goop. Another thing too is they put Sai Saichi in this yellow goo, and he's
different goo.
He's a little boy, and it is the same form-fitting goo, and it's like skin-colored, and it's kind of like
it's not skin-colored; it's pee-pee colored.
Yeah. He looks he's terrible to look at. You don't want to look at Sai Saichi in the Gundam. It is not fun. And then you cut back to Domo, and you're like, "Great, we're modeling again."
It is true. You don't like it. Okay, yeah, let's finish this fight.
No, I don't like it. All right,
no,
so the fight.
Exploring that thought any further.
It's simply no good. Thank goodness, genitals are banned as per Gundam Fight regulations. Article 5 of the Gundam Fight: leave the hogs back in the stable.
Hogs are for the slop.
Right, you now. I wrote down a line. Okay, so when Domon finds out that Sai is actually the boy, the line he says is, so we missed some of the funny voice acting because this was in Japanese, but this was good enough to write down. Domon says, "I can see why the Shaolin Temple is counting on you to fulfill their dream." It's just like, it's immediately like, "You old dog." And so they do
good
their
game, you old firecracker.
Thanks for having me tortured and locked in jail. I think it's funny.
I like it. I think it's nice.
They chop my dick off.
Okay, finish this, please.
Dragon Gundam is fighting Burning Gundam. It's a sword versus dragon arms. The dragon shoots fire, and Domon's blocking it. And then he's like, "Surprise! I also have flags, and the flags are like made of fire. It's like a
bow
staff.
It's pretty cool.
It's a cool Gundam. I like it. That's why they used it again a year later with no changes." And so they're doing this pretty cool fight, and Domon, you think he has the upper hand, and then Sai knocks his sword out of his hands. So he's like, "Oh no! Now I'll have to use, you know, the thing I always use to win." And he's looking for Sai, who has made his Gundam go invisible behind a series of flags in a process that's never explained.
Nope. It doesn't need to be.
It just got it. The screen goes black, and then all you see are the flags, and he's like, "I'm being tricky." Mm-hmm.
It's tricky.
Tricky.
Yep.
Tricky.
And then a joke I'm absolutely not going to make here.
Nope. And then a joke no one would make about any reason why you would be tricky.
Nope.
Could be
anyone.
It could be anyone.
I'm staring at both of you. You need to stop. Keep going.
Could be absolutely anybody.
Stop.
Let's go. Let's go.
This joke is a red flag.
Yeah, I'm just so
burning
burning
Chinese pride.
All right, Chinese characteristics left and right. Let's go.
Finally, a Gundam with Chinese characteristics. And so
that was the joke I was gonna make.
Yep. Good joke. So the fight with the flags, I mean, Sai's invisible. How are you going to find him? But luckily, Domon is magic, and so he closes his eyes and just like, "He's there!" And then he catches him with his burning finger, and he does the whole monologue. "My hand is burning red. It tells me to defeat you. I will destroy you for pride and justice." He doesn't do the extra flare move for the King of Hearts or whatever, which double powers up his hand. But he does grab this guy's head, and he's going to make it explode. And just as he's about to explode Sai's head and win the Gundam fight, the Shaolin monks appear and they go, "No, don't!" And he looks and goes, "Why?" And he goes, "'Cause you would lose too." And you find out that the dragon has a tail wrapped around his head, and so they'd both lose their head. But I think that only happened after they said it, so it was like, why did you...
It was a distraction.
You just shouldn't
so
have said
anything.
Tail
around his head.
Yeah, it was some classical Chinese trickery again. It's in the show.
I don't know how else to talk about what happened.
If the underhandedness of characters is not material to the programming, I will walk out of my job here at Anime CNN, where I have worked and lived for 20 years. And so anyway, it's a tie, and they say we're both formidable friends. I guess it's a draw. I'll see you in the next Gundam fight. And so they leave their Gundams, and Rain goes back to Domo, never mentions how she was under the threat of death, or ever talks back to him with that sass mouth. And so...
And then he looks at his little list of Gundam places, and I think we have France.
We have Neo-France, Neo-Russia.
Oh, Neo-Russia is the other
one. Neo-France and Neo-Russia, but here's the thing is he had written down five countries on the back of his picture he shows everybody, and was just crossing off where this guy could be by asking, I don't know, 10 people in each country.
China's huge.
He's crossed off all of America already from the episode two.
These are massive
and
places.
And so he's like, guess I'll check out two other countries before I've definitely searched everywhere. And also, fun detail, the monks are like, now that you've defeated Saisaichi, we will train him and teach him honorable ways so he's less tricky. Unless that's good for you, and then there will be more of it. And they're like, great, bring him back. We'll have lots of time with him later. And yeah, so that's episode three. It was a lot of fun. I thought it was a little less stupid than episode two, but more racist, and I enjoyed that because it's very funny to watch. Okay, out of seven Dragon Balls, Gundam rank, Jeremy, go!
I'm going to give it 2 out of 7 Dragon Balls, 1 for each Dragon Hand.
Oh, yeah, that's good. There were 2 Dragon Hands.
It's true.
Katie, how out of 7 Dragon Balls?
I will also give it 2. I like when robots fight. I don't like... There's a lot of racism. It was hard.
I'm pretty sure only going to get worse every episode.
I mean, I like European racism. That's funny when we make fun of, like, Italians or the French.
Okay. I thought you were going to say when we make fun of Muslims.
Because it's European racism.
It's European racism.
Yeah, that is European-styled racism. I mean, being racism towards against Europeans. Europeans.
It's also rampant in Southeast Asia.
That's true, yeah.
That's true.
So maybe that's the real Gundam fight we need to have.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it 3 out of 7 Dragon Balls because the fighting was good and it was funny, but the plot made zero sense and was kind of annoying to recap.
And they're making no effort to make it make any sense.
It's barely a TV show.
It really is. They should just have the Gundam fight and then play a music video.
It should just be a music video. I was just thinking the same thing. Yeah, this TV show should be a music video.
It could honestly even skip the fights and just be like a showcase of all the Gundams. Like if it's just like a bunch of like 2-minute episodes where they're just like, look at this. What if there was a Dutch Gundam, huh?
Huh? What about that? It's almost just like Def Jam Gundam comedy. Just like, you ever know those Dutch Gundams? Be a windmill.
Damn.
Yeah, but then there's sort of a story on top. Anyway, please enjoy this song by Dragon Force for our dragon episode.
Okay.
Asuivre.
Asuivre.
Blackest blaze in hell's domain. We watch the males they go. You'll find the pain. I once again we know. It's a rainbow.